This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala wa ba'd. We're still explaining hadith Uthman radiyallahu anhu arda in explaining the wudu of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And I said before that wudu al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the wudu of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was reported by a large number of companions. And Uthman radiyallahu anhu, this hadith is one of them. Also hadith Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu, hadith Abdullah ibn Zayd, aydan hadith Abi Hurairah, hadith Aisha, Muawiyah, ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, al-Miqdam, أيضاً وائل بن حجر بلال رضي الله عنه المغيرة ابن شعبة أنس أنيس الربيع بنت معوذ جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهم جميعاً أيضاً عبد الله بن عمر بن الخطاب very famous narration but I said something and I need to see if any one of you remember I said أفضل كل هؤلاء جميعاً وغيرهم هو حديث عثمان حديث عثمان is the best of all of them. Anybody remember why? For the sisters, if they want to come inside, you can come inside if there is any. Why did you get Muhammad? They sit in the back there. Okay. La mish leish. No, Hadith Uthman itself was reported by a large number of students, of tabi'in. The best of them, Himran. But that's not my question. My question, why Hadith Uthman itself better than the narration of Ali or Ibn Abbas or Ibn Umar or any other companion? Why this Hadith is way up much, much better than the other ones? First of all, he did this not in front of 20 companions. Uthman radiallahu anhu did this in front of all the Muslims at that time outside the masjid. At the door of the masjid. إِنَّمَا تَوَضَّعْ عَلَى بَابِ الْمَسْجِدِ So everybody will see it. And among the companions that we know that they witnessed that, Ali, رضي الله عنه, الزبير, أيضا طلحة, and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. They were there and they narrated this. But also a large number of tabi'in, they were witnessing that. And them seeing Uthman رضي الله عنه, making the wudu. Then he's saying, this is wudu in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It became approval by all of those people. Sahih or la? That gave an advantage for hadith Uthman radiallahu anhu over other ahadith, which it doesn't have this advantage. طيب? هذا مثل حديث قلت لكم سيأتي معنا في صفة صلاة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حديث وائل بن حجر radiallahu anhu. وائل بن حجر did something similar. In front of group of people in the masjid, he said, I will pray two raka'ah. Ama wa inni la aqsidu salat. I don't intend to pray for any reason other than to show you how the Prophet ﷺ pray. Then he prayed two raka'ah, then he looked at the crowd and he said, Ahakada salla Rasulullah? Is this how the Prophet ﷺ, this how the Prophet ﷺ pray? Qalu sadaqt. Kan min ha'ula yuqarib 30 min ashab al-Nabi ﷺ. Among 30 of the Prophet ﷺ were there, approved that this is how the Prophet ﷺ prayed his salah. This is given advantage of such riwayah, of just narration, over any other one. What else? Anybody remember? Very good. Hadith Uthman, أكثر الأحاديث جميعا تفصيلا في الأحكام. There is no one have brought details like Uthman radiallahu anhu arda. The most detailed one. And there is tons of narrations for this hadith. Some of them are weak, some of them are authentic. أيضا إن Uthman radiallahu anhu. And because of the detailed of it, قدمه البخاري ومسلم على كل أحاديث صفة الوضوء. And because of this, البخاري ومسلم رحمهم الله have taken this hadith over other ahadith. أيضا لأنه أفقه هؤلاء جميعا. The most faqih, the most knowledgeable among all the other companions, radiallahu anhum wa arda. Last week, we talked about the ruling of washing the hand in the beginning of the wudu, غسل فغسل كفيه ثلاث مرات. And we said that الفقهاء رحمهم الله agreed أن غسل اليدين في أول الوضوء سنة وليس بواجب. The فقهاء, the Muslim jurist agreed that washing the hands before you start your wudu is sunnah. يعني whenever you start your wudu, you wash your hand. That's right. That's the first thing. That washing that hand is sunnah. It's not wajib. It's not must. So if somebody skipped that, okay, his wudu is absolutely correct. Almost every scholar would agree on that. Then he said, then تمضمض واستنشق واستنثر. Basically, it says that Uthman رضي الله عنه, after he washed his hand, he what? تمضمض واستنشق واستنثر. Which it means that the Prophet sallallahu Uthman radiallahu anhu, and he describing how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, rinsed his mouth and sniffed water in his nose and then blew it out. So he tamadmad, يعني rinse his mouth. Al-madmada, basically when you put the water inside your mouth and you move it. That's a tamadmad, okay? العلماء رحمهم الله said, هل يدخل المج في حد المضمضة؟ I'll say this in English, then I want you to tell me why even we bring this up. العلماء رحمهم الله debate. Spitting the water, so rinsing your mouth, moving the water inside your mouth, this is مضمضة. In Arabic language, the word madmada is just to put the water and to move the water inside your mouth, or you must spit it out. So in Arabic, when we say tamadmada, it means two things, three things. You sip the water and take the water inside, move it inside your mouth, then you spit it out. Or it is only you take the water in and you move it inside your mouth. Can anybody tell me why is this even important? Ya salam alaik. He said, what if he put the water and he swallowed the water? Did he do the madmada or not? You see, that's where the debate comes. And it's sahih, if the madmada, it is only taking the water in and basically move it inside your mouth. Basically rinsing the water. So if you swallow it, you have done the wajib. But al-afdal, al-fuqaha rahimahullah said, the best way is to spit it out and not to swallow it. Al-akmal an yamujjahu. Then he said, sniff the water. Al-istinshaq, jadhbu al-ma'i bin nafasi ila dakhil al-anf. That you sniff it inside your nose. And al-istinthar is to blow it out. So there's two words here. Okay, and you blow it out with your when you breathe. There is one narration said, tamadmada wastanthar. One of the narrations said, he rinsed his mouth and he blew his nose. Do you see any contradiction? No, because he's not going to blow his nose unless he what sniff the water in. So they hear someone have a riwayah, ikhtisar. This is a very common, because the hadith is reported by meaning, so they want to make it short. Instead of telling you, he sniffed the water in, then he blow it out. He just said blow it out because he obviously understood that he put the water in before that. Okay? Is rinsing your mouth and blowing your nose, okay, must or just sunnah? Is it wajib or sunnah? And I want to say also, sniffing the water inside, some people think that they have to put it to, يعني, to let the water hit their brain and it goes all the way in. No, anything of the nose, and even if that is someone a nostril, the nostril of the nose, fathat al-anf, even if it goes a little bit inside, خلاص. Nobody said you have to put it all the way inside, يعني, your nose, then you blow it. and you maybe you cause yourself a lot of problem with sinus infections and stuff, or like issues. So no need for going extreme also in this area. Al-Jumhur, the Shafi'i, the Maliki, the Hanafi, and one narration among the Hanbali said, rinsing the mouth and blowing the nose is must. The wudu, the wudu is invalid without it. Okay? Sorry. The Hanabila said it's must. The Jumhur said it's sunnah. The Shafi'i, the Maliki, the Hanafi said it is sunnah. It is recommended. Correct yourself. Or correct what you wrote. The Hanafi, the Shafi'i, the Maliki said it is sunnah. It's not must. Okay? And one narration from the Hanabila said it's sunnah. But the famous opinion among the Hanbalis that it is wajib. That's what we call it in ilm al-fiqh, mufradatul madhab. Whenever you hear this state or terms, mufradatul madhab, يعني it is the only one, or al-madhab, madhab al-hanabila, is the only one have used that. كيف نترجمها يا شيخ كمال أو الشيخ عمار؟ مفرداتُ المذهب. The unique position of that madhab. Yeah. It's a unique because no one of the other three madhab said it. The jumhur, the majority of the fuqaha, can anyone of you guys, let's move يعني this class a little bit. Can anyone of you guys tell me why you think the majority think it is sunnah and it's not wajib? Because it's not mentioned in the Quran. You remember yesterday I told you, al-asl, the base for al-wudu, is the verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 6. And in verse number 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say anything about what? Rinsing the mouth or blowing the nose. So they said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this verse, he mentioned arkan al-wudu, the obligatory of the wudu, and it was not mentioned. And if it is, okay, and if it is wajib, and if it is wajib, it should have been mentioned. So the Hanabila said, no, it was mentioned. How? Face. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wash your face, and your nose and your mouth, part of your face. Okay? So the Jumhur, the majority, said, no, that's not a good argument. Why? Because your beard is in your face. Do you wash your beard? Everybody agreed that washing the beard is sunnah. Takhlil al-lihya is sunnah. Also, you know what? Your ear is in your face. Nobody said you have to wash your ear. Okay? It is wiping over the ear is only sunnah. It's not wajib. The eyes is in the face. Nobody said you have to open your eyes and to put water inside it to wash it. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the face, it doesn't mean that everything in the face must be washed. And that will include the mouth and the nose. So he said the mouth and nose should take the same rule of the eyes and the ear. We don't wash them. You follow? See how the argument going back? ولذلك قال الإمام الشافعي رحمه الله ولم أعلم المضمضة والاستنشاق على المتوضئ ولم أعلم اختلافا في أن المتوضئ لو تركها عامدا أو ناسيا وصلى لم يعد. Imam Shafi'i said in his book, Al-Umm, I don't know that rinsing the mouth and blowing the nose is must upon the person who making wudu. And I don't know any disagreement that if the person who's making wudu left it intentionally or unintentionally and prayed that he need to make up the salah, he need to repeat the salah. I don't know anyone would say that. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he said this in his book, Al-Umm. Al-Hafidh al-Hajr, who's a Shafi'i scholar, said, and this is very strong evidence that he never remember or know anyone. When he said, I don't know anyone, who he referred to? Companions, successors, follower of the successors. That he said, you must repeat the wudu. So Ibn Hajar said, this is like as if he mentioning what? Ijma'. consensus among the scholars. He said, except, Ibn Hajar said, except one successor said you must blow your nose and rinse your mouth, which is Ata. But Ibn Hajar made a comment, قال وقد رجع عنه. And Ata ibn Abi Rabah changed his opinion about that later on. طيب, those who said that rinsing the mouth and blowing the nose is wajib, like the Hanabila, what's their proof? They said it's proof because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wash your face. Yes, the eyes, it doesn't go, is not included, and the beard and the ears, but the mouth and the nose are included because there is nas, because there is evidence, shows that it is included, shows that it is must. Number two, they said, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Muhammad to wash his face, Muhammad explained to us how washing the face should be. And in this way, he included what? Rinsing the mouth and blowing the nose. And they said, Innabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said clearly, وهذا الحديث في البخاري ومسلم, صحيح البخاري ومسلم, that Innabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Huraira, من توضأ فليستنثر ومن استجمر فليوتر. طيب, so النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said here, if you make wudu, you must make استنثار, which is blowing your nose. So that means you put the water in, then you blow it. Then he said, woman istajmara falyutr. If you go to istijmar, is to clean yourself after urine or filth with something solid, like tissue papers now, or in the old days they use leaf. And he said, you have to do it three times. And the Hanabila believe that it is three. طيب. He said, يعني العلماء رحمه الله, like Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, he said that this hadith, it doesn't mean it's must, but it is recommended. Okay, he said لأن الإجماع قام عليه. الإجماع, the majority of the fuqaha, الإجماع that was mentioned by the Shafi'i goes against it. I would say that that the person should try his best not to miss the rinsing and the blowing the nose. And my heart goes towards the Hanabila, not because I'm Hanbali only, but because this opinion, من حيث الأصل والتأصيل أقوى, from the principal point of view, it is stronger. Why? Because النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم gave an order, and in multiple occasions, not only this hadith, in multiple narration, that النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ordered, and we're going to talk more about الاستنشاق. Later on, there is a special hadith about it, and الاستنثار. So try your best is to basically blow your nose and rinse your mouth. طيب, what does this disagreement benefit us from? Benefit us also that we don't need to be so picky on each other's and نبطل. We basically invalidate the wudu of each other's. There is a big khilaf between the fuqaha رحمهم الله in this regard. Then Uthman, it was said, ثم غسل وجهه ثلاث مرات. Then he washed his face three times. No doubt washing the face is one of the furud, one of the obligations in the wudu, and no wudu will be valid without it. وهو في آية المائدة. What is الوجه? What's the word الوجه means? الوجه comes from the word واجهة. What's واجهة? Face. Even English, face, when you say, I face you. So the face is the something الذي تواجه به الناس, that you face people with it. Okay? Type question. This part. You see this part? Is this a name for it in English? Underneath your lower jaw. Doctor. What do you guys call this? Not the jaw. You know that area? فهمت قصدي شيخ محمد؟ Okay. Waleed. This part, here. Is that part of your face? Do you face people with this? No. So it wouldn't be part of your face. The face is what you face people with. Okay? Exactly. Face is not, ear is not part of your face. Absolutely. The ear is not part of your face. So face in Arabic language, لما تقول وجه هو من منابت الشعر, from the forehead. MashaAllah, some people have five. بس يعني, normal people have four. Yeah. So, anyway, the forehead here. So the forehead from where the hair start. It doesn't matter if you have MashaAllah here, nothing. We don't go up. It is from where the normally the head, the hair start. So from the top of your forehead all the way ila dhaqn, to that bone here in your lower jaw, which is your beard in here. Chin. So from that bone to here, to where the hair start. ومن الأذن إلى الأذن, and from here to here, where is also the top of your jaw, where is your ear is located on the top, that's where your face, that's the face. And that's فائدة لكم. We studied, inshallah, the كتب الله لنا عمر. إذا قال لك ما هو حد اللحية, هو الشعر النابت في الوجه. It is the hair that grow in the face. That's why some people tell me sometimes, well, Sheikh Waleed, why did you trim your beard? Why did you do your beard? Actually, when it, you see sometimes my beard is very light, is when I shave this part or cut this part. And this part, if I take it out, my beard became very light. But originally, this is not part of اللحية. It's not part of the وجه. You see what I'm saying? Anyway, basically, العلماء رحمه الله, almost Abu Walid agreed that ear is not part of the face. I don't know anyone from the scholars of Arabic language or the fuqaha would include the ear in the face. The ear should be wiped, but has nothing to do with the order in the Quran, wipe the face. That's why al-fuqaha agreed that the ear is sunnah. If it's part of the face, it will be wajib, it will be must. When Allah said, wash your face, if it's part of it, it will be must. But it nobody ever, all the fuqaha, all the Muslim jurists, almost everyone, agreed that it's only sunnah, because it's separate, it's not part of your face. And the sunnah is to wash your face with both hands, not one hand. Okay? That's why in the hadith Ibn Abbas in Bukhari, فَغَسَلَ بِهِمَا وَجْهَهُ, the Prophet ﷺ took the water with both hands and washed his face, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And anyone who has a beard, okay, who has a beard, that it cover part of his face, that part that is covered by the beard, you don't need to wash it. You only wipe over it. يعني إبراهيم مثلا, الشيخ إبراهيم هنا, أبو عبد الرحمن, his beard cover this part. He doesn't take the water and, you know, go inside to make sure that, because that's part of the face, that's right? Like my beard, that's part. You didn't take the water and you go inside like that. You just wash like this. That's Sahih Ibrahim, you don't go. Somebody have, mashallah, thick mustache, like 2 inches mustache, Allah had. You know, he doesn't like make sure that you take the water inside the mustache. No, you just wash over it. Is that clear? قالوا والغسل يكون خفيفا من غير لطم يقول الفقهاء. Because كان ابن عمر يسن الماء على وجهه سنا و ابراهيم النخعي كان يقول كانوا يمسحون وجوههم قليلا قليلا. طيب. And Ibrahim also been reported عن اصحاب مسعود رضي الله عنه كانوا لا يلطمون وجوههم بالماء لطما. All these narrations, I'll tell you what it means. One narration said, they did not used to slab their faces with water. يَلْطُمُونَ وُجُوهُمْ بِالْمَاءِ لَطْمَةً, like this. Some people, mashallah, do like this, they're both on the sides. يعني, mashallah, they have enough water to make wudu with it too. So they don't do that. Also, كان ابن عمر يسن الماء سنة. He would take the water and let it basically go smoothly over his face. قَلِيلًا قَلِيلًا Little, little. So that shows you, if you ever shaitan come to you said, oh, take so much water, make, no. You know, you just do like very little water and you don't need to basically slap your face with the water. طيب, there is one narration عن علي بن أبي طالب أنه أخذ الماء بيده فصك بالماء وجهه. Okay? There is one narration that Ali radiallahu anhu took the water, then he slapped his face with it. This narration is weak, as Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah قال هذه منكرة. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah said this is a rejected narration. طيب. في one of the narration of Hadith Uthman, في إحدى روايات Hadith Uthman, قال غسل وجهه ثلاثا ومضمض ثلاثا واستنشق ثلاثا. One of the narration, he said, he washed his face three times, he rinsed his mouth three times, and he blew his nose three times. هذه الرواية وإن كانت من رواية عامر ابن شقيق وعامر ابن شقيق عن عثمان ضعيف. عامر, this عامر is a weak narrator, okay? But even if we say it is authentic, it doesn't mean that this is the order of the wudu. Because some people look at this narration and said, oh, you can mix the order. No. This narration, because في لغة العرب, okay, العطف لا يدل على الترتيب. When you say and, it doesn't mean it's an order. When it is order, إذا قلت ثم أو فاء, the فاء and ثم تدل على التعقيب, تدل على الترتيب مع التراخي. ثم فاء تدل على الترتيب مع السرعة. If you say this فاء this, you add the letter فاء, it means next to it and immediately. If you say this, this, there is no order. It could be any. I say, Muhammad came to the masjid and Ahmed. It doesn't mean Muhammad came before Ahmed. Common sense, صح? جاء أحمد ومحمد. لا تدل على الترتيب. Okay. Speaking of which, never been reported, my brothers and sisters, never been reported that the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he washed his face, ever, that he wiped his neck. بعض الناس إذا مسح وجهه مسح عنقه. Some people when they wash their face, they do their neck. Okay? Actually, مسح العنق بدعة. Wiping over the neck is بدعة. According to many علماء رحم الله, and we might talk about this a little bit more to tell you where this came from. Also, it is nothing been reported that النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم or any one of his companions used to wash their eyes. Okay? Actually, you close your eyes when you wash your face. And it's not from the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. No one from the companion did it except Abdullah ibn Umar. كما قال Abdullah ibn Amr al-Ya'muri رحمه الله قال لم أجد أحدا من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يدخل الماء في عينيه إلا ابن عمر. I never seen anyone of the companion رضي الله عنه will put the water inside his eyes except ابن عمر. Okay, and this is in مصنف عبد الرزاق. It means that the صحابة, all of them, don't do that. بل عندي أعظم من هذا. I have something even better than this. وهو ما رواه عبد الرزاق في مصنفه من رواية نافع عن ابن عمر أنه كان يصنع ذلك في الجنابة فقط. That ابن عمر used to do this only in جنابة, not in وضوء. يعني he only put the water inside his eyes only when he pray, when he make غسل الجنابة. Okay? And there is nothing at all from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to support such things. And ibn Umar رضي الله عنه كان له تشديدات. Ibn Umar, he a little bit strict in certain things. Like when Ibn Umar heard that the Prophet ﷺ said, وَيْلُ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. You know, the back of your feet, your ankle here, النبي ﷺ said, watch out from the fire, that it will burn this part. العلماء رحمه الله said, it will burn while you are walking in a الصِّرَاط. Or it will burn you in the grave. Different interpretation. يعني this is Allah will burn it for you. And the hadith is sahihain من حديث عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص. Okay, it will be burned. Why? Because the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم found the companion where Abdullah bin Umar said they were tired and it was Asr prayer, so they made wudu فتخففوا في الوضوء. They made it so short and did not wash their feet. فنادى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بأعلى صوته مرتين أو ثلاثة. He called with a very loud voice two times or three. ويل للأعقاب من النار. ويل للأعقاب من النار. Watch the back of your ankles from the hellfire. Watch the hellfire for your ankles or the back of your ankle. وفي رواية قال في مسلم الإمام أحمد فيما أظن قال ويل للأعقاب وبطون الأقدام من النار. Be careful for the back of your ankle and the bottom of your feet. بطون الأقدام. The bottom of your feet from the fire. Why? Because they didn't wash it completely. So here we say that Ibn Umar, when he heard that, كان يغسل قدمه سبع مرات. After this, Ibn Umar used to wash his feet seven times just to make sure what? He is good. لكن هذا غلط. This is wrong. This is not how the Sahaba رضي الله عنه and النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم did. So he has some تشديدات. لذلك يقولون العلماء احذروا ثلاثة من ثلاثة. Be aware of three from three. تشديدات ابن عمر ورخص ابن عباس وشذوذات ابن مسعود. You be aware of three things. Ibn Umar has a lot of strict opinions. Ibn Abbas has a very opinions that is very loose and kind of rukhas and breaks and things of that nature. And Ibn Mas'ud has opinions which is very odd, very strange. So whenever you feel one of these three have one of these like out of the mainstream, be careful from it. And I'm saying this is with all the respect that we have for all the companions. But even among the companion, it's known that there is a mainstream opinions and things in the fringe. And this didn't make them less or anything. But they've been ordered to stick to what the majority is doing. And that's applied in their time, in our time, in every time. It will be. There is a hadith about washing your eyes with water, washing your eyes during wudu. But this hadith, as Imam Abu Hatim rahimahullah said, hadith munkar, batil. Rejected hadith, wrong and very weak. أشربوا أعينكم الماء. The hadith is أشربوا أعينكم الماء. يعني water your eyes with water. Does that make any sense? Water your eyes with water. يعني أشربوا يعني from يعني drinking. So it means يعني put water inside your eyes or something like that. Then Uthman رضي الله عنه غسل يديه اليمنى إلى المرفق ثلاث مرات. Then he washed his hand, okay, his hand all the way to his elbow three times. Then the left like that. يغسل اليدين يكون بالكفين والذراعين. So when you see hand here, it means your palm from your toe, from your fingers, all the way to your elbow. The elbow included and the hand is included. So if someone take the water and only wash this part from the wrist to the elbow is not what? Sufficient, because this part must be washed. Anybody knows what wrist means in Arabic language? إيش يسمى هذا؟ رسل. Very good. And this is one of the four pillars of wudu that all the ulama agree upon. The four pillars in wudu are the face, the hand, the head, and what? The feet. أربعة أركان هي في الوضوء. So all the way to the elbow, and you don't exceed after the elbow. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم only did to the elbow. ما كان يزيد على المرفق. He never goes beyond the elbow, as came here in Hadith Uthman, came Hadith Abdullah ibn Zayd, and many others. And Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala said, there is a consensus, ijma' among al-fuqaha, that the elbow is included. أن المرفقين داخلين فانتهاء الغاية هنا يعني تدخل الغاية يسمونها داخلة في المغية. For those who want to know the words in Arabic, الغاية داخلة في المغية يعني what is after two included to what is before it. So I said, I traveled to San Antonio. What that means? يعني I enter San Antonio or not? Yes. You see what I'm saying? So basically, what is after two is included in it. Sometimes it doesn't work this way. Sometimes I say, for example, I fasted ila al-maghrib, to maghrib time. We say in English, until. But let's assume you say to maghrib time. That means I fast during Maghrib? No, it's not included. هنا الغاية ليست داخلة في المغيّة. كيف تفرق؟ كيف تفرق؟ دائما غالبا الزمان لا يدخل والمكان يدخل. Usually, when you refer to a location, it's included. But if you refer to time, it's not included. So, for example, we say, you know, this, it's not 100%, but that can help you a lot. That's why you have a debate. When you say al-awrah, the awrah, it is from the navel to the knee. Is the knee included or not? You see, those who will say yes because it is part, غاية داخلة في المغيّة أو لا تدخل في المغيّة. They included it. So here where the debate, it's a linguistic based, the different opinion based on how linguistically you look at it. But here we say that what makes it so clear that the elbow are included, the elbows are included, فعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم practice. Okay? But because of the linguistic debate, you will have obviously another opinion, which is رواية عن الإمام أحمد رحمه الله and رواية عن الإمام مالك وهو قول زفر أنه لا يجب. They said it is not must to wash the elbow. So even if you go, when you don't wash the elbow, they said it is only sunnah, but it's not wajib. Why? Because they said, this is how linguistically that what it means. طيب. I want to say that never ever, if this understanding, that the elbow is not included linguistically, my question will be, wouldn't this appear in the actions and the opinions of the Salaf, of the Sahaba? That's right? Agree with me or don't agree? يعني لابد أن السلف فهموا أيضا هذا. If that's how it is, linguistically, they are the one who mastered the Arabic language. لكن يا أخوان, لم ينقل, never been reported, a single narration, ولا حتى fabricated. Okay, that none of the Sahaba or the Tabi'een or the Salaf that we aware of, that they ever not didn't include the elbow, as far as I know. As a matter of fact, what we have is beyond the elbow, not less than the elbow. الوارد عن السلف, it is more than the elbow, which is Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه. كان ابن عمر يغسل إلى الإبطين. ابن عمر رضي الله عنه, when he washes his hand, he goes all the way to the underarm, all the way to here. وكان أبو هريرة إلى العضدين. أبو هريرة all the way to here, to his triceps here. And why? Because they said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that the Ummah will comes in the day of judgment, okay, غرّ محجلين, that they will basically shining from wudu, their hands and their face. So can Abu هريرة increase the wudu, increase basically his wudu, increase the washing? All the way, he said, I want, when I come to my judgment, in the judgment day, my light will not be only to here, I want it to be all the way up. But that's his understanding, never approved by the Prophet ﷺ. And كان يقول أحسن تحجيلي, I want to beautify myself in the day of judgment more than any other person. That's what يعني أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه وأرضاه. أيضا I want to say even extra point, which is something I found in Sahih Muslim, where Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه did this. He went all the way beyond the elbow while what some of his students watching him. طبعا هو ينقل عنه العلم, يعني they report the knowledge from him. Listen to what he said. قال لو علمت أنكم هاهنا, if I know that you are watching me, ما توضأت هذا الوضوء. I would not make wudu like this. Why? Because he doesn't want this to be reported and people think that it's sunnah. He's doing this only for himself. He doesn't want to teach people his sunnah. He wants to teach them the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He doesn't want to teach them his opinion. He wants to teach them what he saw the Prophet. But this is a personal choice. That's a very interesting concept to understand and to comprehend. Also, when Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu did all the way to the elbow, I found also that Ibn Abi Shayba قال, Nafi' said, كان يصنع هذا في الصيف. He only did this in the summer. If Ibn Umar believed in the sunnah to go beyond the elbow, there is no point from Nafi' to say that he used to do it ish in the summer. So in the summer, give you an indication that is not about being sunnah or not sunnah. It's about something else, which is cooling down. Yes, and the heat. Okay? ولذلك, nothing ever been reported about going beyond the elbow. And النخعي رحمه الله said, Ibrahim النخعي is one of the great scholars of the Kufa. He said, كانوا, they used to, or كان يكره غسل الآباط. يعني he disliked the person go all the way to the يعني beyond the elbow. And it is sunnah to do it three times, especially the hands and the feet. Why especially these two? الفقه, especially the hands and the feet, you should try to do three times, not less. Why? قالوا لأنها مظنة ترك شيء من العضو. Because most likely, if there is anything, it will be missed. Not the face. The face is easy. Two hands, khalas, cover it. But the hand, you might miss this part. You might miss this part. You might miss this part. So if you do three times, for sure you what? You will get it. You might miss the back of your feet, some of the between the finger toes and the fingers. So when you do it three times, you are 100% sure that you are did it. And fi riwayah, قال أدار الماء على يديه عثمان وهذه الصحيح. He said he took the water, then he let the water goes around his feet. So he took the water like this, then he goes like that. So the water starts falling on his hand. رضي الله عنه وأرضاه. That's just one small thing, and I'll let you guys go. وفي رواية, in one of the narration, but not the one Ibn Hajar brought, but there is another narration, he said, وَخَلَّلَ أَصَابِعَهَا, and this is Ibn Khuzayma, عند ابن خزيمة. He said, then he washed in between his fingers, صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. So when he did his hand, he washed in between his finger. And تَخْلِيلُ الْأَصَابِعِ السُنَّةِ, and there is a special hadith, Ibn Hajar mentioned it later, that's why he didn't mention this extra narration, because there is a specific hadith about basically washing in between the fingers and the toes. It's called takhleel. وهو حديث لقيت ابن صبرة والمستورد ابن شداد, also ابن عباس وائل ابن حجر, all of them talked about basically washing between the fingers. And من سنن الفطرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said غسل البراجم. What's غسل البراجم? What's البراجم? It is the area in your hand, in your finger, where the skin is folded, like this part. You see how it's break down? So this is to wash it. Why? They said because these breaks between, do you guys have like me a breaks between the skins? It's not flat, that's right. Omar, is yours the same, like the rest of humanity? Okay. Everybody's like that, that's right? Even sisters? I never checked my wife's fingers. Okay. So this part, basically, you have this skin is basically breakdown. That's right. The Nabi said to clean it. Why? Because they said in between these skins, maybe dust, you know, sweat, things like that. So cleaning it will be min kamal al-tanzif, from يعني, beautifying yourself and cleaning yourself perfectly. ليش? Why? لأنك ستقف أمام الله. Because you're going to stand before Allah. So even this little part of your skin, you make sure it's washed perfectly. So when you wash and you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you start clean. So if Islam hear about you cleaning these like skins in your fingers, how about you being clean in your clothes and your underwear and your basically, and you basically represent yourself in the right format. If you have in your finger a ring, what do you do? I don't have a wedding ring, okay? But those who have a wedding ring or carrying ring with them, anybody wear a ring here? Would you have it? Okay, good. Your wife would be proud of you. Okay, so what do you do when you make wudu, Ibrahim? Okay. There is a narration, hadith, كان إذا, and this narrations reported by Ibn Majah al-Tabarani. He said, كان إذا, when he makes wudu, he will move the ring. He will move the ring so it will, the water will go underneath of it. Okay? لكن هذا الحديث في إسناده علة. It's معلول. There is a problem in it. Okay? But العمل عليه. This is the practice of the early generation, that they will move the fingers. طيب, today, huh? The ring. What did I say? Oh, move the finger. No, sorry. They move the ring, which is in the finger. Who used to do that? Ali, رضي الله عنه. Umar ibn al-Khattab. Abdullah ibn Umar. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. Been reported, Urwah ibn al-Zubayr. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. Okay? So many, I can go in a mini list, been mentioned by Abdul Razzaq wa Ibn Abi Shaybah fil Musannaf and al-Bayhaqi and others, that's what they used to do. So in our modern days, what if I don't wear ring? Like me, I don't wear ring, but I wear what? Watch. So in this case, you move the watch to make sure that it is moved. اللي مريحين نفسهم دول اللي بدون خاتم بدون ساعة بدون شيء. Those like free, no ring, no ring, nothing, no watch. They are free. But if you have one, you move it. طيب, you might say, Sheikh Waleed, I heard that Salim ibn Abdullah, the great Imam, had a ring and he never moved it when he washed himself in wudu. And I can bring you a few narration like this. قُلْنَا, we say, تُحْمَلْ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْخَاتِمْ كَانَ وَاسِعًا فِي يَدِهِ. When the ring is loose and big, that's why he didn't move it, because the water will go through it. But if it's tight, no, that's where you need, basically, you need to wash it. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu arda said to a man, how do you perfect your wudu, or you make your wudu and you're wearing this ring? Take it off when you make wudu. And this is Tahawi rahimahullah reported in Mushkil al-Athar. Al-Imam Ahmad was very strict. Al-Imam Ahmad, he said, if the ring is tight, you should make back the wudu if you didn't move it. It was very, الوضوء غير صالح, يعيد يأمر بإعادة الوضوء. Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah, he said, no, you don't have. It's enough to make the water goes in your, basically, in your fingers, and you wash your hands. And basically, he didn't see that it's must to move the finger or to remove it. And I think it will be much better opinion is to say, if it is loose, you don't need to move it or to take it off. But if it's tight, either you move it from its place or you take it off, so you make sure that the water goes underneath of it. Inshallah, next week, we'll talk about the wiping over the head, then the ear, then the feet, And we will finish, inshallah, next week, the rest of the hadith. Wasallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. If somebody has a question, you are welcome to ask.